Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
At Mosaic Business Consulting, we understand that every business is like a complex mosaic of glass pieces, and we specialize in putting those pieces of a business together to create a seamless and efficient operation of your business. I'm Laura Wagenknecht, and we believe in the unique mosaic of our clients' visions, goals, and dreams. Let us be your partner in crafting a brighter future for your business. We have courses in the Growth Accelerator Masterclass Series and business planning starting soon. Register for a course today.
Good morning. I'm your host, Laura Wagenknecht, owner and CEO of Mosaic Business Consulting, and you're listening to The Mosaic Life with Laura W. A mosaic is a bunch of pieces that, when put together, make up the whole in a really beautiful way. And this show plans to discuss the various pieces of a business throughout different industries and how these pieces, when put together, can help develop a better, more efficient, and effective running of your business. To contact me, to reach me, contact bizradio.us. Today we have our very own John Madden from Asheville, who is a real estate agent. I don't know that I've had but one other real estate agent on the show, so it's going to be interesting to have that conversation with him right now. But John transitioned from a 26-year venture, 26-year tenure, if you will, in private education to a thriving real estate career in 2013, helping over 200 families navigate the picturesque mountains of North Carolina. I love hearing that. Like, imagine 200 families now have a new home. That's amazing. His educational journey included pivotal roles at St. Joseph's High School, where he enhanced curricula, spearheaded community service programs, and led national educational initiatives. John's leadership extended to directing alumni relations and pioneering capital campaigns, notably advancing institutions like Asheville School and Mercersburg, I apologize, Academy. Is that right,
John? That is correct. Mercersburg Academy.
Hot diggity dog. And beyond academia, John contributed as a volunteer press officer for USA Track and Field and even enjoyed a stint at the Disney store. Now that I've got to hear a little bit more about. Anyway, his move to lead an advancement team in Southern Pines marked a return to North Carolina, combining his passion for community with his expertise in educational advancement. Somewhere along the way, he turned to real estate. So let's welcome John to the show and learn more about what made him go through this transition. So welcome, John.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Laura. I look forward to sharing some of my experiences and some of my stories in the journey.
Yeah. So I am kind of curious. I mean, it doesn't seem like quite a natural transition to go from academia or education to real estate.
Well, I look at it as it's all education. Mm. I was educating high school boys. I was educating people in a store on features and benefits. I was educating people to how they can enhance an education through scholarships and donations. So even educating people about buying a house. Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, it's just, we call it sales, we call it education, we call it whatever we want. Even when I was coaching, I was educating them. So I see it all the way through it. And if you're gifted to be an educator, you know, it's sort of a gift or a curse. It just sort of go, everything you touch, that's what it is. And go from there. So that's how I look at it. That's so it really does connect.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. I like hearing that connection you make, because it doesn't seem like a natural connection, these two very diverse fields. But I like hearing that education piece, because when buying a house, it is such a difficult, you know, especially like a first time home buyer, right? Those folks are in for a massive learning curve, right?
Right, right. And so you have to walk them through, and you have to be sensitive to them and what their learning style is. I always look at it as you got those that are pitchers, and those that are data and words. And you got to work both of it. And if you only go one route, you get nowhere. And if you take it as a transaction versus a learning experience, then that's what it becomes. It's all money, and that's not what it should be. It should be an experience that's worthwhile because you've built a relationship, you've listened to their story, you help them understand the next step.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had good and bad experiences with my own house buying, and I've tried to take that as a teaching moment for other people.
Because
that's what's important.
And so walk me through like your best experience of buying a home and your worst experience. So either with a client or with yourself. So we have a sense of what's a beautiful, everything seamless and goes right versus, good Lord, will anything go right?
Yeah, I mean, you got the gambit. I mean, I remember this is my second client ever, and I listened to them, and we took them. I found a house model that they liked. I said, okay, let's try this. But it was $100,000 out of their budget. And they walked in, they said, we'll buy it. And I went, really? I said, because I wanted to show you the floor plan here, but the budget of the same model is in the next town. And they said, no. I said, are you sure? I said, I don't want you to spend more than your budget. They said, nope, we got this. And it was easy and it was fun. And I've been in connection and a relationship with them for 10 years that the husband just passed away after a long illness. He was 80 plus. And they connected me with three or four other friends. And it was fun because of that, because you hit the mark and they just went, wow. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, there were some bumps and some learning stuff for all of us in that, but that was good.
Yeah.
In that respect. On the bad side is I had one where, you know, no matter what went wrong, it just kept falling apart. It was issues after issues after issues where, and actually this was the same transaction. This was the day after we went under contract, the seller decided they didn't want to sell. North Carolina, the buyer controls the process. The seller can't decide, I don't want to sell after they do it under contract.
And that
became a bone of contention that we went from, wow, this is the house we want to, we may have a lawsuit because you don't now want to sell. And so it was a back and forth with that. But I've had stuff where I was looking at it as this, what's the solution? My philosophy is if something blows up, pull up a chair and let's watch it, because freaking out isn't going to fix it. Somebody call 911 and let's go, you know? But if we sit, the sky is falling and everything else. So I try to stay positive and keep everybody's stress level down by looking at it from that side. And so finding really bad experiences is sort of hard for me.
I'm
having it fall apart. I mean, I had one that the day before closing, they were downsizing. He walked through the house and he goes, I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I can buy this house and leave the other one.
Oh, wow.
And I went, What do you say? And I went, it's okay.
Yeah.
He said, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. And we'll figure it out. Needless to say, we closed the next morning instead of at 9, we met at 10. And he went through with it. But I mean, it's not my place to say, no, you have to.
Yeah. So, it's like, hey, that's my paycheck. Don't do that.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, that, and that's just me and how I respond on, we'll find a way to get a solution that everybody's happy with. If there's a hole in the floor, we'll figure that out. You know, if there's a leak, we can figure that out.
I really appreciate the idea of being calm, because I think that in so many of our businesses, we all run into barriers, challenges, you name it. And it is like, if you aren't solution focused and trying to resolve something, you end up in the morass of the negative, right? And you just can't seem to get out of it. So,
right.
I think, you know, it's important that we always It's okay to have like that knee-jerk reaction though, right?
There's the new knee-jerk reaction. And I guess because my philosophy is, right, you know, even with my kids growing up, was yelling and screaming isn't going to clean the broken plate off the floor.
Right.
You know, so yep. Going crazy isn't going to do it. And yeah, maybe I need to go back to my car and then yell and scream. But we need to find a solution that everybody's happy with. And it's not about me. It's about them.
And that's
what's most important. You need to take the paycheck out because you don't have it yet. I mean, and you need to make it to get them to the end. And that's what's most important, is getting them to the end. And that's where all these jobs that I've had, that's what it was about.
Yeah.
Getting everybody to the end. And even when I was working at the Disney store, one of the greatest things I learned was, and that was it, it's not about me. It's about you. It's about your experience. And we got to make it as good as possible. So, you know, you're happy at the end of the day with your decision that you made.
Well, and I really like you talking about it as a non-transactional approach to this house selling, because it does feel very transactional so often. And yet you're talking about having a relationship with somebody for 10 years, you know, and I feel like, you know, when we think about, there are so many things about when we think about buying a house and or selling a house. And how do you encourage others, if they're entrepreneurs, how do you build that relationship with a prospective buyer or a prospective seller? I'm not sure which you tend to focus on, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's not as simple as, hey, I'm me and you're you and let's all get along, right?
Well, I'm one of those, from my former lives when I was in education and I was doing fundraising, I would be traveling the country. And I have a knack for connecting pieces about that. So I like their story. So if somebody says to me, you're from Florida, I'll say, what part of Florida? And then if they say they're from the East Coast, and also in Palm Beach area, then my next question is typically, where from New York are you from? Where are you from? Because most of those people, that's where they wintered.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of, they say, I want to be in the middle of nowhere, but I'll say, but how far from Publix? And they'll go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. You know,
and I
connect those pieces and build those relationships from my past former experiences. And try to just bridge that gap, because everybody has a story and I love their story. And I sort of remember it. And in the office, even I talk about my different clients, even my colleagues talk about my people by their stories. I'll say this one and that one, and they got this dog or they do this. And that's what strengthens it, because it helps me really listen to the stuff we don't hear.
Right.
Which really helps them on the buyer's or the selling side, you know, which is really, really cool when you make that happen, because it's sort of that very subtle, wow. And that's what puts a smile on my face when you can pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah. I am kind of wondering though, there's so much going on with real estate right now with the news. I'm sure people have heard, you know, with the 6% going away, what does that mean? The 6% commission, my apologies, going away. What does that mean? How is that going to impact buyers and or sellers of the houses?
Well,
you know, and when does it take effect? And
yeah, there's many layers to that. One, real estate commissions were always negotiable. Okay. Many companies just happened to pick a number and that was the number, 6% or 3-3, but they were always negotiable. And if you look at their histories, you'll see that there was variations on that, you know, 2.5, 2, 4, whatever. Second, none of this goes into effect at the earliest would be July.
I see.
So the Department of Justice has to accept it. They can decline it, but most likely not. So there's a lot of talk, but we truly don't know, is it happening or not, in that respect. Historically, the buyer's agent would be paying the commission, would be paying the fee to the seller would be paying the buyer's agent historically.
The seller is paying for it?
The seller would hire a real estate firm. The real estate firm would say, okay, our fee is, I'll say 6%. And they'd offer 3% to the firm that brought the buyer. Okay. That was the carrot to bring them in. And the other 3% would go for marketing the house and that and the listing firm. Now, if that going off the table, it could go off the table because we just can't publicize it in MLS July 1st. So I have to call the agent and say, hey, how much are you willing to pay for my services to bring you the buyer? They can say zero, they can say 10, they can say whatever number they want. Okay. I have to have a relationship with the buyer that says, okay, my fee is X. Now, and they come to agree with, and I will ask the seller's agent, will they be willing to pay for that fee instead of you, the buyer, in that going forward. Mm-hmm. But if that's the case and the buyer's on the hook, the buyer now has to figure out that fee for the buyer's agent.
In addition to what they're putting down on the house.
Correct.
So it sounds like there's a potential loss even higher for the buyer, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So a first-time home buyer most likely doesn't have the cash. And it can't be wrapped in the mortgage because they don't allow it.
Oh, right.
Currently. Right. So that's part of it there. So what we see offers that are reduced or worked in as a concession, like a credit at closing to the buyer's agent. So there's a lot of things that have to be hammered out, and all the legals of all the firms are looking at that. But right now, the big one is it will come off of MLS what the stated fee is.
Mm.
It will continue to be negotiated like it always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there'll be more emphasis on the buyer's understanding that the buyer's agent never worked for free, that they were being paid.
Right. Eventually, if not right away.
And it's always North Carolina had buyer's agency. So you always hired the buyer's agent in North Carolina for decades.
Mm-hmm.
One of 13 states in the country that does it. So we've already had documentation that had all this laid out. Now it's a matter of how is it just going to be shifted with some of the conversations or things. But I'm not the true expert on this. So some of what I'm saying may be off a little bit, and I apologize.
No. But it leads me to a couple of questions that I'm wondering about in my own head, which is, well, do you have to have an agent? Can't you just sell your own house without having an agent? Keep all the commissions and, you know.
You could. Historically, FSBO, for sale by owner. You're getting less of a buyer's pool that's coming in. There's a lot of disclosures, lots and lots of pages of disclosures that can create a liability for the seller, even after they sell. There's a lot of work that's required.
So that 200,000 page document that a person signs upon buying the house has all those disclosures, those disclaimers, all that stuff.
Right. So if I list the house, there's going to be a residential disclosure, which is 4 pages. There's one about planes, trains, and automobiles nearby and that you're identifying, those things. There's one about oil and mineral rights. There's one about water and sewer and septic. And it goes from there. As a for sale by owner, they don't have access to those forms. Okay. Mm. And they're not disclosing. So a buyer going in there doesn't know whether this house is solid or not, safe or not, to a home inspection. And then the marketing itself, is another expense.
Because you're saying that if I sell, it's not going on the MLS system.
Right. If you're for sale by owner, it's going to wherever you send it, social media, emails,
I see.
So by hiring a firm, it's going out to the world for things legitimately. It's going to be made sure that you're dealing with all the disclosures, all the fair housing regulations, that you're going to get a competent, solid buyer for your house, making sure that it's your house, what you're selling is correctly measured and permitted, and all those things that are important to a buyer, because you don't want a buyer in day two, it falls apart.
Exactly.
So it's important to have a professional as a listing agent. It's just not as easy as putting a sign in the yard. I spend anywhere from, 3 weeks. I've spent as much as 6 months getting ready for a house with some buyers.
Good grief.
One was packing and purging and things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just not as easy as that. And same thing with buyers. Easily 80, 100 hours that you don't see behind the scene for a buyer's agent. It's just not making a phone call, getting us in to see a house and showing it. There's a lot more that gets involved.
Yeah. I've heard somebody talking about staging a house and stuff like that. Before we go there, though, I am kind of wondering if somebody wanted to contact you and learn more about, what you do, where you seem to work the most and things like that. How can they reach out to you?
Sure. They can call me or text me at 732-309-7100. John Madden. And you can go to, I have a website with allentate.com. It's allentate.com. I think it's / John Madden. You just type my name in and you can find it there. Are the two easiest ways to do that. Even if you just want more information in general, I'm here to help.
I know.
I'm here to get people to the end. So if you have a simple question, feel free.
Well, this is really great. I know our time is up already. I know it goes so fast, but John, I really appreciate all your insight and your expertise that you did bring to the table. And I'm sure that people are going to get a lot from this. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. More than happy to do it. It was fun.
It was good. And I want to thank you for listening to The Mosaic Life with Laura W. You can listen to this episode again and get this great content, or listen to other great hosts and their shows by going to bizradio.us and click on shows. Thanks so much and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.